It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at ManureTea.com.
Well, hello, and thank you for joining us for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. Our guest today is Pat Shanley. Pat is the incoming president of the American Rose Society. Now, when she takes office later this year, she will become the president of the oldest single plant horticultural society in America. Now, the American Rose Society was founded in 1892 and is an educational nonprofit dedicated exclusively to the cultivation and the enjoyment of roses. Now, Pat joins us today to talk to us about her vision for the future of the American Rose Society. We'll also ask Pat about her dedication to growing roses sustainably and about the upcoming American Rose Society Fall Nationals being held this year in Syracuse, New York. You don't want to miss this chat with Pat Shanley.
Tonight is going to be a wonderful show as Pat takes us into the rose world as a home gardener concerned about environmental issues that we're all facing and from an American Rose Society leadership perspective. So stay with us.
We'll be right back. There's more Rose Chat coming your way.
Hi, I'm Phil Paul with the American Rose Society. My family has been growing roses for some 50 years. My wife and I have grown roses across the United States for the last 25. There's nothing more breathtaking than a beautiful display of roses in full bloom.
No matter if you're an experienced rosarian or are just beginning your first rose garden, the American Rose Society is here to help. It's a tremendous resource for making your rose garden the envy of your neighborhood. There's even a rose photography contest for members to showcase the best of the best. Each member will be published in the American Rose magazine.
We invite you to become a part of one of America's oldest horticultural societies and the home of our national floral emblem.
For more information on becoming a member of the American Rose Society and on the rose photography contest, visit ars.org.
You asked for it, you got it. Access the Rose Chat Podcast app from your iPhone or Android device. Find instructions at rosechatpodcast.com. Welcome back to Rose Chat Podcast, sponsored by Haven Brand Soil Conditioners and SW Greenhouse.
Well, it's time to chat about roses. Hey, Pat, welcome to Rose Chat.
Hi, Teresa. Hi, Chris. Thank you very much for having me here.
Oh, we're so glad you're here. And, Pat, we want to start out tonight with something that we know is very important to you and to many rose growers, and that's the subject of your book, The Sustainable Rose Garden. So the question is, can we really have beautiful and sustainable rose gardens?
Yes, we absolutely can, and my garden would be living proof of that. I stopped spraying my garden 18 years ago, and I have a garden of sustainable varieties. So the secret to actually having beautiful roses is to pick roses that will grow well in your area. So, again, the right rose for the right place, and to pick roses that are known to be disease-resistant or disease-tolerant.
Well, like so many things, I think education is key. Don't you think so?
Yes, I absolutely do think education is key. And part of the role of the American Rose Society, of course, is education. And we are determined and committed to helping our members grow beautiful roses without the use of chemical pesticides. So There may be people out there listening to me thinking, what about me and what about the hybrid teas that I grow and what about the fact that I can't grow them without the use of chemicals? And all of that is very true. So we recognize that there are people who will continue to use the pesticides to spray their roses. Many years ago, I discovered that I couldn't grow hybrid teas where I live, which is New York in the Northeast, which is black spot country. And I couldn't grow those beautiful roses that won all the queens of shows without the use of chemical fungicides and pesticides. But with the advent of Knockout, hybridized by Will Radler, the entire industry changed. That rose is widely used in hybridizing efforts throughout the world. It's actually the parent in Tom Carruth's home run. So it is, the rose itself is such an important rose. Knockout is such an important rose because of the role it has played in changing our hobby. There were so many people in the general public in mainstream America that thought we can't grow roses because they're just too difficult. They're fussy prima donnas. And that myth has been broken. So you can now grow roses that are disease tolerant, and you can have an absolutely gorgeous garden.
Oh, you can. I have a large garden, and I'm a bit of a rose collector. I have roses from old roses to hybrid teas to the newest of the shrub roses. And there are beautiful blooms the growing season in my garden. So you're so right. There's just so much available to us that wasn't available a few years ago. So we do owe a lot to Bill Radler and his Knockout Rose because that just got the ball rolling, and it showed us what could be done.
Exactly.
You mentioned the American Rose Society, and Chris mentioned a little bit about the history. But for our newbies, could you speak to some of the main benefits that they would have in joining the American Rose Society?
Our main benefit in joining the Society is our magazine, which is published bimonthly. So American Rose Magazine is an award-winning magazine, which was redesigned about 5 years ago, and we hope to do a refresh on the magazine and make it even more up-to-date and even more focused on what people want to grow their roses. There's the Member Benefits Program, which offers you discounts at various merchants, and there is the Horticultural Society's Reciprocal Garden Program, which gets you free or reduced admission to over 200 gardens throughout the country. So there are a lot of benefits, not the least of which is learning how to grow great roses.
Absolutely, and I totally agree with the magazine. I mean, it would be worth the price of admission just to get the magazine. It is beautiful, and it's just chock full of all kinds of rose information, no matter what you're interested in, whether it's hybridizing, research, education, photography. There's something for everyone, for sure.
Well, I can tell you, let me jump in here a minute. When I first went to my local Rose Society here and asked, a million questions the first three or four times I went, and a couple of members brought me back issues of American Rose. And, it's their go-to book for information. Mm-hmm. And, I don't think folks that don't subscribe to American Rose don't really realize what a valuable resource it is. And so I just want to put my 2 cents worth in as far as this magazine's concerned, because now I'm the one who's giving my back issues to folks who come to me and ask questions. So it just keeps on giving.
I admire you for letting go of yours. I'm kind of, hanging on to mine for dear life, but I will make copies of pictures and I will make copies of articles, but it's hard for me to let this go. And I can also say I've been growing roses for 30 years, so I continue to be amazed by the new things that I learned just at our Rose Society meetings from all the different people that grow. And don't you think it's just fun to be with other rose people?
That's the whole idea behind membership. For me, anyway, it has always been, it's about the roses, but it's more about the people. It's about the wonderful people that I have met over the last 23 years that I've been doing this. The people are really the benefit. I guess that would be kind of difficult for somebody out there listening to me thinking, well, I'm going to get the magazine, and how do I interact with the people? So that's one of the things we were thinking of to begin in my administration is webinars and chats and more going into social media to help our large community of rose-growing friends across the country communicate. And I know Chris is very active in social media, and he's a real expert at it. But so that's part of what we're thinking. But really what we're thinking, and it's actually the platform that I ran on, was that there is a place for everyone in the American Rose Society, no matter what your interest is. So if you are just a casual gardener, there is a place for you in the American Rose Society. If you are an exhibitor, there is a place for you. If you want to take photographs, if you don't want to grow roses at all, but you just want to be with people who love roses and go to see these beautiful gardens and be with people of a like interest, there's a place for you at the American Rose Society. So it's an inclusive policy. That's part of what I have envisioned for many, many years. And so if you're listening and you're not a member and you're thinking, you know, should I join? The answer is yes, you should join. There is something for you here.
Absolutely. What an exciting time for the world of roses.
You know, the thing I think we all need to remember is that none of us started out as experts. And none of us started out as exhibitors. Okay, so we all started. I mean, in 23 years ago, I was a casual gardener. So there's a process to it. So that's really what we need to look at going forward, that none of us started out as an expert. We all started out as a beginner. So there's a place for you. If you're a beginner, come and join us.
I think there's also a great place for a mentorship in program like this, just in someone new coming into our Rose Society. We have, you know, several age is represented, and experience levels. So someone coming new to us, they have a wealth of information at their fingertips, just in the people and what they've done over the last 10 or 15 or in some cases 30 years. So just being able to be mentored by these people that you're going to meet along the way in the Rose Society is invaluable.
You know, Chris and Teresa, I had someone ask me recently, so Pat, if we're going to go towards all these sustainable, easy care, low maintenance roses, why do you still need the American Rose Society? Why do we need you at all? And the answer to that is because disease resistant does not mean disease free. And easy care does not mean no care. You still
That's
need
right.
to know how to plant your roses. You need to know how to feed your roses, how to water your roses. The basic care of taking care of a plant does not only consist of a spray program. So people who tell you that, you know, we don't need the American Rose Society because there are all these sustainable, easy care roses are incorrect. We still need to know how to grow these plants. As a matter of fact, it's even more challenging, if you think about it, that you grow a rose without the chemicals. So I know, Teresa, one of your questions for me was, you know, how did I choose my roses for my new garden? I tried to make my garden representative of all of what the hybridizers are working on today. So my garden consists of roses from Radler and Mayon and Jim Spruill and Robert Ripiteau and Keith Zary and Tom Carruth. And I've tried to have as many, Christian Bedard, I've tried to have as many hybridizers as I can, both the well-known ones and the lesser-known ones, like Mike Athey from New Zealand. So these roses are represented in my garden, and it's kind of a test garden for my area for people to actually come and see, does this rose grow well in your garden? Well, then it might grow well in my garden. I only live one or two towns from you. So that's exactly how I chose my roses for the garden. And there are no roses in my garden that must be sprayed or they won't grow.
See, that's really good news. Chris and I both have had the opportunity to do some testing in our gardens, and just this year, the Master Gardener program that I'm a part of, they're very interested in taking another look at roses. Many of them started growing roses and stopped, and so they're very interested in what's new in the world of roses, and I get the opportunity to speak to them to that in April. And then they're going to come to my garden, and when they come to my garden, much like your garden, I have a variety of things that they're going to be able to see that are beautiful and sustainable. So having those places that are doing regional testing, even on a small scale like a home garden, is so valuable. And what you're doing in your garden, you can speak to, and it is such a great teaching tool to actually grow it and see it, and then get the opportunity to tell people about how it's doing.
Well, it is, and the fact that you mentioned regionality, so the buzzwords in rose culture today are sustainability and regionality, and you mentioned the American Rose Magazine. This month on the cover of American Rose Magazine is a rose called Delish, which is the AGRS 2016 fragrance winner. And if you go to the center of the magazine, there's a great article on the program, the American Garden Rose Selections testing program. It's a program that tests roses across the country in six regions. And for a rose to win, it needs to score above 80% in at least three regions. So we had our first trials started in 2013. And in the end of last year in November, we went over all the scores and found that we had two regional choice winners. One rose was called Thomas Affleck from Mike Shoup's Antique Rose Emporium, and the other one was Floxy Baby from Will Radler. And that rose, both of these two roses are regional choice winners. So another way that we can help people choose roses, the right rose for the right location, a great rose that will grow where you live.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Delish, and so many of our friends say, but I want fragrance in my rose. And I read in that article that Pat Henry of Roses Unlimited describes the fragrance of Delish as heavy damask with some overtones of verbena and citrus. And you know that sounds pretty much perfect to me.
Yeah, it is perfect. And it's gorgeous on top of everything. I have it growing in my garden. I also have Thomas Affleck. Both of these roses are gorgeous. I don't have Floxy Baby yet, but I intend to get it. I have also a rose called Bajazzo, hybridized by Thomas Prohl of Cordes Roses, distributed in this country by New Flora. And that rose won one of the awards at the Biltmore, International Biltmore Rose Trials last year. It's gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous rose.
I'll tell you, that was the rose that stopped everyone in their tracks at the rose trials. You came up those steps and it just grabbed you.
It was just gorgeous.
Yeah.
So it's in my garden for about 2 years. Yeah. It's covered.
Chris
it's covered
and I had
a trellis.
Get our picture made.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, we had to get our picture made in front of that one. Yeah. Some passerby, you know, took pity on. We were trying to do a selfie, and some passerby took pity on us and took our picture. But the great thing about that is they were new to roses, and so did they ever hit the right person? All of a sudden, they're like, well, what's going on here? And we're like, blah, 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 blah. We're having a rose trial. And it was so fun just to get to see their young faces, and all of a sudden they were so interested in what was going on in the garden. Great.
So you've got a 2-year shrub of Bajazzo?
Yep, it'll be going on its third year, and I'll tell you, within the end of the last season, now you have to remember that we live in the Northeast and that there could be a lot of dieback because it's cold here. That rose covered like a 10-foot trellis. It is absolutely magnificent.
Wow.
So hoping that it made it through this winter, and I'm sure it will, it'll be just gorgeous.
Wow. Can't wait. You'll have to tweet us some pictures.
I will.
You.
I will.
Yeah, we want to see that one on Facebook for sure. Well, we talked a little bit about what's happening this fall. You're going to be installed as the ARS president. Pat, what does that feel like?
It feels fantastic. It's like the culmination of what I've been working for and towards for many years. I have so many great ideas for the American Rose Society on how we can grow our membership and how we can be more inclusive and be strong. We want to leave this organization's 123 years old. So we want to leave a strong organization for the next generation and the generation after that. That's my goal. My goal is to make this society strong so that it will last for generations to come. So it's very exciting.
Well, we're very excited about that, too. So tell us a little bit, what does the ARS president do?
Well, what does the ARS president do? I can tell you what I'm going to do.
That's a loaded question, Teresa.
So as an ARS president, you can do a lot, or you can do really basically it's up to your vision. So it's up to the vision of the president. And one of my visions is to have the American Rose Society have a very strong partnership with the rose industry. We started out as a nurseryman's organization. So in the days of Horace McFarland, there were no amateur roses. rose growers in the American Rose Society. And it was right about when he was president that it opened up to people like you and me, not the nurserymen. Mm-hmm. So somewhere along the line, we lost our way with having a partnership with the rose industry. We also have to make sure that the American Rose Society has an appeal to mainstream America. And mainstream America is buying roses. And this came from a very well-known nurseryman in Texas who said recent as last week, that the majority of the people that come into his nursery to buy roses are interested in landscape roses. They're interested in how to make their yard more beautiful. So that's mm-hmm. what we need to do. We need to get as many members as we can growing roses. And when we have all of these members growing roses and going out and buying roses from all of these nurseries and all of these breeders, we will increase in relevance to the industry. So we need to be relevant to the industry, and to do that, we need mm-hmm. to grow our membership. And to do that, we need to broaden our perspective. So that doesn't necessarily mean that we need to abandon all of our traditions. We're never going to do that. We're never going to abandon the exhibitor. The exhibitor is extremely important to the American Rose Society. But the same way the exhibitor is important to the Rose Society, we have to open our arms to this casual gardener that I spoke of earlier and bring them mm-hmm. in. And once we do that, and once we grow this organization, and once we become relevant one more time to the industry will be strong, and we will be strong.
That's right.
You know, it is a rare person who sees a beautiful rose and doesn't want it for themselves. You know, roses are easy to sell. People come to my garden and they want to know, can they do that, even if they just have a patio? And I always say, absolutely. Let me tell you how.
Yeah.
They're just beautiful, and they've been beautiful forever. So people just love them. We just need to get them in the hands of the people.
We just need people to understand that roses don't have to be difficult to grow. Yes, you can buy the ones that are fussy prima donnas, and they won't grow unless you spray them. But you don't have to do that, and I don't do that. There are gorgeous hybrid teas that are coming for our exhibitors that are disease resistant. They're working on, I think one of the biggest challenges for the hybridizers, I would bet you, with developing a hybrid tea for the exhibitor, is that classic high-pointed center.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So we get the hybrid teas, but we don't always get the high-pointed center. And Beverly, which is a hybrid tea by Cordes, does have mm-hmm. that high-pointed center. That's a gorgeous rose.
And fragrant. I have several in my garden, and it is beautiful and gets everyone's attention.
So it's all coming. You know, the American Rose Society might have to think about our standards for exhibiting. We might have to change them a bit. But I think that with the new roses that are coming, there could be more people exhibiting in rose shows. If we could revive the rose shows, we could grow this membership.
That's right. I mean, that's how I ultimately became a member of the ARS, was through attending our local rose shows.
Me too. And, exactly what happened.
Yeah, yeah. Would not attend a Rose Society meeting because I was afraid of those rose people.
Until you became one.
Yeah, until I became one. And now I'm one of the ones that people are afraid of.
I actually went to a rose show, and then I went to their meeting the following month, the following meeting that they had after that. And I was so impressed, and everybody was so nice and so friendly that I joined. And that was the beginning of the whole story. I mean, that was in 5 years I was president, and it's really wonderful because I went back and spoke to them last November. And it was really wonderful to be back in the room where it all began, you know, 23 years ago.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Some great memories. And those friendships are friendships that endure.
They are. And, you know, they become your family. They become your rose family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
they
do.
And your story is the story of support from your rose friends.
And, you know, it is about teamwork. We all bring something different to the table. And so when you're in a Rose Society meeting, they're all not like you. They may be rose growers like you, but they all love something different. They bring mm-hmm. something different to the table. They have experiences and stories that enrich your growing experience. And that just makes it special, just all of us coming together and doing what we do.
Exactly.
Well, one of the things I always hear when I hear your name is that Pat is this person of boundless energy. So now we've heard your vision. We know you are boundless energy. So I say, we are going to see some things happen in the next few years.
Yes, you are. We're going to work real hard to bring them to you.
Well, we're excited. Now, something else is going on this fall, and that is electing the new vice president. So, again, for our newbies, walk us through real quickly that process. What's going to happen there?
Nominations have just recently closed. And you will see in the May-June issue of American Rose Magazine, you will see the profiles on the two candidates that will be running for vice president. And it will also give you instructions on how to vote. And the voting period will begin on June 1st, and it goes to the fourth Friday of July, which I believe this year is July 30th. So it's a two-month voting period, but it's all electronic voting. So the instructions will be in the magazine. It will tell you how to vote. And I urge each and every one of you, if you're an ARS member, and you must be a member to vote. Trial members and youth members are not eligible to vote. So full members, senior members, and associates, of course, they can vote. And I urge you to vote because it's very, very important. And it's, you know, our future depends upon whether or not you will help us. And how can you help us? You can help us by voting. So this year, we're very fortunate. This happens every 3 years, by the way, so it's a triennial election. And the person who's elected as vice president will become president in 3 years, just as I was elected in 2012 vice president, and now I assume the presidency in 2015. So we're very fortunate. We have two really excellent candidates this year. I urge you to read their statements, that each one of them will have their statement in the May-June issue of the magazine. So I urge you to read their statement. And I urge you to vote. It's very, very important.
I'd like to mention, too, that both candidates are going to be a guest on Rose Chat in the month of April, so stay tuned for that. They're both going to be with us in April.
I remember my Rose Chat interview very well from when I was running. So.
We do, and, too.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Pat, those two interviews were some of our highest listen to shows during that time period. You know, I don't think any of us realize how much interest there is in the leadership and vision of horticultural societies today. But that proved that to me, that there is the interest out there, and we just have to make the information available to folks and then let people decide what they want to do as far as a vote.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. And this generation coming up, the millennial generation, they're very into gardening, but they're also very into sustainable and environmental issues. So the things that you have presented today are going to work for every generation of rose growers today. So that is certainly good news.
Thank you.
Well, friends, we're coming to an end of our time together. And Pat, we thank you so much for all you've done to bring roses and people together and the work that you're continuing to do. We look forward to the fall and seeing you installed as our president.
Well, thank you very much. And just a little plug for the ARS Fall 2015 convention. Our website is newyorkroses.org. We are live and registration is open. So I hope that you will all take a look at the website. We have a great lineup of speakers, international speakers. All the top breeders from all over the world will be with us. So come and join us. We're going to have a great time and us as well.
We're going to do our best to be there.
Excellent.
We are going to certainly try.
We've been chatting with Pat Shanley, incoming president of the American Rose Society. Now, to learn more about this wonderful organization called the American Rose Society, visit their website at rose.org. Well, friends, we've come to the end of another broadcast of the Rose Chat podcast. And I want to thank you for joining us for this episode. Until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.